What I've learned is I have this extraordinarily precious opportunity here. My dad believes that you're only valuable insofar as you're productive. He's the kind of person that would go into a forest and start thinking about how many board feet could be derived. He's the person who sees that people and things have value in, frankly, only insofar as they can be converted into revenue or used for status in some way. And in that, he represents a strand in our culture. He's not alone in that. I don't mean to demonize him, but I absorbed a lot of that. And I didn't want to live that way. I didn't want to father that way. And my own son, Ocean, I did everything I could to express unconditional love to him. And I believe I did. He certainly tells me often that how much he feels that from me. And he has been incredibly successful and productive, which I'm proud of and love that about him. And at the same time, I would say to him, I wouldn't love you any less if you were autistic. I wouldn't love you any less if you never did anything. I would want to emphasize that unconditionality. And he'd say, yeah, I know, great. But now I'm getting to really not just think that, but manifest that. And you know, when we put conditions on our love for other people, when we put expectations on them, we rupture something. We break something. We may not even know about it, but we do. So I'm getting this. I'm finding that in this challenging situation, there's a very, very beautiful opportunity for me to learn and realize some things about that these kids have value as themselves. Not just for what they do, just for being, just for who they are. And I think that that's what's missing. I know in my life it's been very important to recover this, because in our culture there is this out of balanceness. We got to produce all the time. Growth, economic growth is like this success. We define these things in insane ways. Shop till the planet drops. When we say somebody's a success, don't we usually mean by that they've made a lot of money? Isn't that what is usually implied by that? What a narrow, shallow, diminishing to us sense of the purpose of life, of the how you appreciate a life. Because there's so much more to us, such as our ability to befriend, to nurture, to bring out the best in others, to bring art, beauty into the world, to listen, to express each of our unique intelligence, our unique gifts, our unique genius, our unique heartfulness. And I want to talk about that part of it, heartfulness. Because when you see how animals are treated in factory farms, and you see that the vast majority of people in our culture consume products, consume the flesh and products from these animals 3 times a day or more without any thought of it, it's not an easy thing to do. To live with compassion for the people and compassion for the animals, to try to make the changes in your own life and in our greater world that are needed to bring our society into more alignment with our heartfulness and our caring. And yet they don't want to be told. They may even mock you. They may ridicule you. They may tease you. They may test you in any number of ways. And can you be rooted in who you are sufficiently, grounded and centered in your values and in your beliefs and in your joy and in your heartfulness sufficiently that doesn't faze you? That you can smile and move on and be an example of the joy that affirms life inclusively? I think that one of the reasons that people have come here today, that people gather for an event like this, is to be affirmed in there, in that instinct that we have. How do we do this? Without compromise, but without animosity. I will tell you another story from my own life about it. You know, I don't really think that my life is any more meaningful, believe me, than anyone else's, but it's my learning arena, and so I share stories in the hopes that it provides some authentic relation between us. As I guess many of you know, my dad was one of the founders of Baskin-Robbins. My dad and my uncle founded the company after World War II. Actually, my dad did, and my uncle joined him a few years later, and they became Baskin-Robbins and 31 flavors, one for every day of the month. And I'm an only son, and my dad groomed me to succeed him in the business. And from my earliest childhood, he would train me. When I was 6 years old, I was sweeping the floor of the factory. I mean, he just wanted me there, and he wanted me to learn it. And that was his script for my life. And I kind of liked it, actually, for a while. I ate a lot of ice cream growing up in Southern California, and eventually invented some flavors. At one point, I thought that if I died, that would be tombstone type of thing. That would be my legacy. I invented Jamocha almond fudge. And then later, I thought, oh my God, I've got some karma to work out here. When I was 21, I told my dad I didn't want to do that. I was not going to follow in his footsteps and run Baskin-Robbins and take it over, which was his dream. And it was a very painful process we went through in our family about it, because he is used to getting what he wants. And in my case, that didn't happen. And I tried to be respectful, but at a certain level, what I was doing was rejecting his life work. And it wasn't as though he manufactured plutonium triggers for nuclear weapons. You know, in his mind, with the slogan of the company one year was, "We make people happy." That was the advertising slogan. And I remember when we came out with that, I said to him, "Dad, we don't. We don't make people. That's a lie, really. We provide a product that provides momentary pleasure." And he said, "What, are you a philosopher? It's a commercial, it's a slogan, what are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, it just bothers me. Human happiness is too difficult a thing, it's too challenging a thing, it's too real a thing to trivialize like that." You know, I said, I mean, it's a product of the way we live and how we treat people and how we answer life's calls. And he said, "Would you just shut up? I don't want to hear this. We've got the slogan." And we had our differences, and a lot of them. And eventually, I walked away, and I told him I didn't want to have any access to his wealth. I didn't want to inherit any money. I didn't want a trust fund. I didn't want to live off of his fortune, his achievements. I wanted to follow my own path, and I wanted to find my own integrity and be honest to it and honor it. So I made that choice, and that confirmed for him that I was totally insane.